Andrew Grummet's podcast for Monday, November 28th, 2005. Hello. It's Monday morning. I'm just back from the veterinarian where we got a pre-flight physical for one of my cats. The subject of moving across country with pets will be the subject of another podcast, but for today, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving and about finding a place to live in the Bay Area. So the family, my family, was all in Chicago for Thanksgiving. That's where my parents are, and my brothers and sisters, and lots of cousins, many cousins. And so that's where we spent last week for Thanksgiving. And when we were there, I got a chance to try out this game. Have you ever heard of Sudoku? It's, I sort of noticed it. I was in an airport a couple weeks ago, getting ready to get on a plane, and I went to the bookshop, and there was one or two books, you know, highlighted in some of the parts of the shelves that really stand out, and I was sort of scratching my head going, what's that? And then I got to L.A., and my father-in-law had the book and was going nutty over this thing. And he explained the rules to me. And then in Chicago, my parents had the book and were doing the game. And so I'd never heard of it before, and then I'd seen it in three different places within a couple weeks. So what is it? Sudoku is it's a puzzle. It's kind of like a crossword puzzle, but different. You use symbols instead of letters. The symbols, they're numbers. Everywhere I've seen it, they're numbers, but they don't have to be. They just have to be nine different symbols. And it's just this logical puzzle. There are these rules about where you can place the numbers, and you put them in this grid according to this set of rules. But it's not like a crossword in that you don't really need any to be literate, or, you know, you don't have to have any cultural literacy or understand, you know, whatever references. There are no outside references. It's, you know, the game's completely self-contained. Unlike a crossword puzzle, you know, my guess is if you've done enough of these Sudoku puzzles, you can actually go back and do old ones that you've done before and not remember them. I could be wrong. I've only worked, I don't know, something like two of these things. Sort of like a crossword, you know, your performance, each step determines the success of future steps. If you screw up, you know, later steps could be, you know, messed up. But with Sudoku, because it's all, you know, symbols, and, you know, our brains just don't remember them the same way we remember words and things. You know, if you screw up in Sudoku, you pretty much have to, you know, go back to the beginning and, you know, erase the whole game and start again. It's sort of hard to find where you went wrong. At least I haven't figured out a good strategy for that. Maybe a really experienced person would know. So that's my take on Sudoku. I think I've worked two puzzles and probably won't work many more because it's a huge time sink, but it's also kind of fun. I think if I had more time, I would do it a little more because it's kind of a neat way to exercise your brain. Don't blame me if you try it out and wind up spending dozens of hours on it. So the other thing about Thanksgiving, I don't know, have you ever, I've been so busy, I haven't had much time to watch TV, but over Thanksgiving break, I had the TV was just sort of on, and I couldn't believe the number of movies. Like, if you've got, you know, even just basic cable, it seems like they figured out at the stations that movie marathons are the thing to do during Thanksgiving, because people are just sitting around watching TV. So I was trying to think about all the different movies. I don't think I watched a single one all the way through, but I don't know, we must have seen Austin Powers, American Pie 2, the Spike was having this Bond-a-thon, right? So all your favorite James Bond movies were on. I think I saw a slice of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. I like the Kevin Smith movies, definitely like those. Just to keep things really confusing, one of the Star Wars movies was on, and the character, it had a character who was, let me see if I can get this right, the character in the Star Wars movie was Count Dooku, And then there was the game, which was Sudoku. Oh man, I kept messing those up all weekend, or all week. Anyway, so that's my Thanksgiving wrap. It was really good to have a break, that's for sure. But now we're back to all of the, we're back to podcasting and working and figuring out how to move my family across the country. So I have a bunch of stuff to say about finding housing in the Bay Area. Actually, the good news is we signed our lease last week. We're going to be renting a place across the Bay. The Podshow offices are downtown, in downtown San Francisco. And at least starting in December 5th, for a year, we will be renting a house across the Bay in Alameda, which is a little island just across the Bay from downtown. So it's East Bay is what they would call it. As I said, it's a house. It's in a nice little suburban neighborhood. One of the things I was looking at when we were picking a place to live was how to commute. So there's at least three ways to get back and forth. And I'm going to just have to try them all out and see what works the best. But there is, I don't know, maybe a 5-minute walk from the house. There's this ferry boat that goes across the bay to downtown. So the good thing is I can walk to the ferry and I'm not driving. That's always good. And it should be pretty quick because, you know, there's not a whole lot of traffic on the water. You know, they just shoot straight across. I think it's like a 20 or 30 minute. I don't know for sure, but it's not a very long ride across. Then I would just have to get basically from wherever the ferry drops me off over to Podshow. Let's see, the other way of getting around is the BART, the Bay Area Rapid Transit, which circles around the bay. It basically goes, you know, from Oakland up and around and across the bay and then back into San Francisco. And so it looks like the Fruitvale BART stop is about a 12-minute drive if there's no traffic from the house. So if I do that, I'm going to need a car just to kind of get back and forth to Fruitvale. Actually, I could probably ride a bike. I think it's 4 miles. I keep forgetting that unlike everywhere else I've lived, San Francisco actually stays relatively warm all year round. So I imagine one could bike, you know, all year. So that's option two is the BART. And then option three is to drive, which of course has the most flexibility, but you're competing with everybody else to get across that Bay Bridge. So I'm gonna have to try the different ways out and see what works. I'm hoping I can avoid sitting in traffic, you know, in my car crossing the bridge every day. Crossing fingers. We'll see. Okay, so that's the end result. But the question is, how did we get there? How did I figure out? How did we decide where to live? If you look at a map of the Bay Area, and we had a family member who's a member of the American Automobile Association, also known as AAA, get us a bunch of maps of the area, and it's really, the online resources these days for maps are unbelievably good, but sometimes there's nothing like spreading out a 3-foot by 3-foot square sheet of paper on the dining room table and really sort of poring over it to get a sense of, you know, the big picture, the lay of the land. So we actually started by looking at a map of the entire area and looking at the various, you know, options. So you basically have the city, you know, San Francisco, the city, and then you've got other cities and suburbs surrounding, you know, they kind of form a ring above and to the east and below San Francisco. There's a lot of choices. And above San Francisco, you've got Marin County, which has the very expensive area called Sausalito, but also some other neighborhoods I think I'll mention in a minute or two. But then you've got also the East Bay, which is across the bay from San Francisco with, you know, Alameda where we are, but also Piedmont and Berkeley. If you go west, Walnut Creek. So there's a lot of different areas to choose from, and it was kind of interesting because I've been asking a lot of people. Everybody seems to, at least everybody, almost all the people that I've talked to, and this could be biased because I'm in technology, but a lot of the people I talked to had either lived in the Bay Area at one time, or live there now, or know somebody that lived there. Hold on, I'm going to take a drink of tea here. As you can hear, I've got some kind of cold thing going on. Okay. So, I don't know. It was pretty hard to actually, in some ways, given the time, we just kind of had to pick something and run with it, because every new person that I talked to had some area to suggest. And the truth is, I think once we're there and have some time to give it a little bit more time, we may take a second look and check out some of these other areas. But in the short term, literally, I mean, we're talking, all of 2 or 3 or 4 days of you kind of get into town and hit the ground and see all the places you can, but it's just impossible to see every neighborhood, in a short time frame. So we basically narrowed it down to, and this was, I guess this was a few weeks ago now. I mean, the whole process took a few weeks to figure out, but we kind of narrowed it down to one area in the city, a neighborhood called Glen Park, which I never would have saw, I never would have noticed unless Keith, one of the realtors I worked with, hadn't pointed it out to me. But there's this awesome urban neighborhood in San Francisco called Glen Park, and it's on this, there's this canyon and hiking and stuff, and it's like right there tucked away in the city. And it's got a BART stop, which is all of 10 minutes from, the Montgomery Street station, which is reasonably close to the Pod Show offices. So we'd figured out one urban neighborhood, Glen Park, and then one suburban area, this part of Alameda. And I learned about Alameda from one of the guys at Pod Show. I didn't actually ask him if I could use his name in this podcast, so I won't say who it is. But one of the guys at Alameda found a nice place there, and we're actually in the same neighborhood, just probably a 5-minute walk away. And he said, "Oh, you should check out Alameda," and he's got kids, and it looked like a good place for a family. So we kind of figured out before I actually went looking, really looking at places, pick two neighborhoods and just get get in as many listings, see as many places we could in each. So it was, those were Glen Park and Alameda. As far as actually finding the listings, how do you decide where to go look? Craigslist was pretty good. Everybody we talked to said, "Oh, look at Craigslist." And, Craigslist has it's a great, great website, and it's got sort of city-specific areas. And then once you're in a city, like you can go to San Francisco Bay Area, you can pick housing and rentals, and you can execute keyword searches. And one of the single coolest things about Craigslist is they haven't succumbed to the pressure, to flash up and fancy up their interface. It's like dead simple text, and it's all about the functionality and just making everything really fast and simple. And more power to them. They've been able to fight off the design geeks and so forth, and keep it really simple and 100% functional. Craigslist is pretty cool. We found a lot of listings there. San Francisco Chronicle has a website with a lot of listings. And then, of course, there's realtors. And the interesting thing about this is that there's a tremendous amount of overlap. I mean, the realtors have the same listings as Craigslist oftentimes, and San Francisco Chronicle has some of the same listings. And it's a little interesting if you kind of work directly and through a realtor, because you occasionally get in a situation where you look at this, you look at the same place. you got to decide, because there can be fees involved, you got to decide and be really upfront with the realtors about, okay, I saw this place already, I went and looked at it, so you don't need to show me it. But the interesting thing about the realtors, we actually worked with two realtors, one in each neighborhood, and the thing about them is you pay a fee, but they can tell you about stuff that you might not, they've got listings that aren't necessarily on the public sites. And they've got knowledge of the neighborhoods, and if they're good, they'll be really helpful and worth whatever fee you wind up paying. As far as getting around in a strange city, well, not strange, but a new city, a place you don't live, you got a few options. There's There's public transportation, of course. I did that a little bit. I think I took one BART ride from Glen Park up to downtown just to see what the commute would be like. But the public transportation of the Bay Area is very good. There's actually a very good, Kevin from Podshow pointed me to this excellent website called transitinfo.org, which is pretty sweet. You basically give it two addresses, this may be just for the Bay Area, I forget, but you give it two addresses and it will go and it'll look up all the different kinds of public transportation and find a route for you between two points. And it'll give you the schedules and, you know, it combines bus and train and it's very, very cool. I didn't use it too much, but you can definitely get around really easily on public transportation. Then there's driving, which I actually did quite a bit. I rented a car. And when you're in a new city and you just need to race around and don't have a lot of time to follow maps and stuff, I highly recommend getting a navigation system, you know, renting a car and paying the extra $10 a day for something like Hertz Never Lost. Or I think I got a National Rent-A-Car one of my visits, and they have something called Navigation Station, which isn't quite as fancy as Never Lost, but it works really well, actually. It's a little bit different. In Hertz, you dial in the address, you know, with your hands and using these menus and options. It's very cleverly laid out, but with Navigation Station, you simply call and talk to a human, and you read off your address to them, and they enter it, and then send the data back to your phone. It's Never Lost is entirely built into a cell phone. They just give you the cell phone and you plug it in, and it's very elegant the way they did it, actually, without all kinds of extra fancy hardware. Let me see. I'll have to check the time on this, but time permitting, I'm going to include a short clip of me driving a rental car and getting a little bit lost, and it's funny. What you have to visualize is I've just gotten in my rental car, and I'm holding up my, you know, my Creative Zen, which I'm recording into, and I'm trying to follow the navigation system and drive, which in retrospect wasn't such a great idea. But I always think the best, you know, the best clips, the best stuff is the unrehearsed stuff. So the audio clip was a 2-minute segment or so of me, you know, getting lost and finding my way back to my route all while recording. And the star of the clip will be the, you know, listen for the automated voice of the navigation system in the background. Okay, so we'll cut to that. And I'm also here to look for a place to live. So one of the first things I did when I picked up my rental car was get one with navigation. Ah, crumb. I got on going the wrong way. Shoot. Alright, well that's what I get for trying to record. Alright, we'll just get turned around. Well, so you're hearing the nav system recalcing as I screw up.
Start out going southeast on I-80 South. Then take the exit on the right for 98th Avenue.
I think I got that one. Now what? How about a right turn?
Take the first road on the left onto 98th Avenue. Then turn swipe right to merge onto I-80 North.
All right, I think I've almost got it.
Turn straight right to Blair Johnson, I-80 North.
That ain't gonna work. Not while I'm totally lost.
Continue on I-80 North for 7 miles. Then, bear left to stay on I-80 North.
Thank you. So that was pretty good. That last bit was me losing my way. I was too busy recording and took 880 south when I really wanted to be taking 880 north. Okay, so back to the podcast. Hope you enjoyed that. Oh, kitty. Got one of my cats here who wants to be a podcasting star. We'll work on that, okay, buddy? So let's see. Oh, yeah, so we were talking about how to get around in a new city as you're looking for a place to live. And so the last thing you can do, besides public transportation and renting a car, is let a realtor drive you around. And I did that in downtown when I was looking in Glen Park and some of the neighboring neighborhoods. The cool thing about having a realtor shuttle you around is they drive. You don't have to drive. They have interesting info that may not be in the public listings. And they just kind of know their way around. They can point you to new neighborhoods and, you know, maybe point out stuff you haven't thought of. I mean, it all depends on the person, I guess. But the guy that I worked with in downtown, his name was Keith Rodriguez with J. Wavro and Associates. That's W-A-V-R-O, J. W-A-V-R-O. So anyway, he was very good. And I was, even though at the end of the day, we went with a house from another realtor, I was sort of happy to pay his commission just for driving me around and, you know, getting me, giving me the info about what was going on. You know, he spent a good, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours with me or something. And so, you know, that was really good. I appreciated it a lot. All right, so the other thing about, you know, this house hunting stuff is you see a lot of places. I mean, it just, you know, you can see 5 or 10 places in a day. And, you know, depending on whether your, you know, significant other, if you have one, or your spouse is with you. In my case, she wasn't. My wife was not with me. And so not only would I be, you know, run the risk of forgetting these places as I see as they go by, but, I had to have some way of describing this all to my wife. So so I would suggest, this is what I did, is to bring a digital camera. Take a lot of pictures. Take a picture of every room, take a picture of, you know, your realtor standing on the stairway of the deck, or, you know, just capture as much as you can because you're going to forget it later. And then what I did is to post all the pictures and sort of add some commentary. You know, I have been building web pages for a living for 6 years, and so it was not a big challenge to upload all those pictures to a server, and I don't think you even need, you know, you definitely don't need specialized tools for this, but it was just my default because it's what I do. So, you know, you can post all your pictures up somewhere to a web page, add in commentary, and I would suggest, you know, verifying. You're going to ask a lot of questions, and people just sort of say stuff. You know, you go and you visit a place and you talk to the person who's renting it and you say, how close are you to public transportation? They say, oh, I think it's 5 minutes or I think it's 10 minutes. You know, but you definitely have to verify stuff like that because people will just say things in order to have an answer. And you never really, you know, you sort of have to ask but verify. So you can look at Google Maps. You can look at the BART site. You can look at transit info. And if you want to find out things like, you know, the commute or where the local schools or where the playgrounds, that information's all out there. And actually, if you add it, you know, if you build up a little website for somebody to look at, like your spouse or your, you know, significant other, you know, you can add links to all of that right there, and you can build up a nice profile of the places you're looking at. Usually better than what you're going to see in a public listing. You know, you just, there's more questions that they haven't thought of that you're going to want to know. So, as a side note, you know, I was thinking about, wouldn't it be great if there was a website where, you know, that sort of facilitated this all for you? You know, you could, you know, househunter.com or something, rentalseeker.com, and where you could let people post information about a listing, potentially collaboratively, you know, different people looking at the same place and recording their impressions. It could get a little tricky, though. I mean, depending on the market you're in, people could try and sabotage one another and make the place they want look really bad, right? So, who knows? But it struck me as an interesting idea. One of the surprising things about the market in San Francisco, at least for the, you know, 3 and 4 bedroom places we were looking at, was that almost all of them were empty, which I was really surprised about. That means that, you know, there's inventory. It's not moving quickly, right? There was, I don't know, I must have seen 10 or 15 different places, and all but one of them was empty. Actually, the place we rented, the guy was still living there because he was building a new house and it wasn't finished yet. But as far as making the big decision about, you know, city versus suburbs, I'll say this. The Glen Park was a very cool neighborhood. I actually sat down and ate at a little crepe place there and, you know, had lunch there. And I happened to see a mom walking by with the stroller, you know, with two kids. And I just stopped her and said, you know, told her about our move and that, you know, my kids, and what did she think of the neighborhood. And we just had a nice talk. We must have talked for 5 or 10 minutes on the street there. And she was real nice. And she actually sent me a pointer to the Glen Park, you know, Yahoo group. There's a Yahoo group for parents that live in this neighborhood, and I signed up, and I must move a good 5 messages a day or something. A really nice resource there. But in the end, we actually opted for the suburbs, just because there's, you know, we've done the city thing, and we live in Somerville in a sort of a small little urban apartment, or an urban condo. It's a condo here, actually. But the family, you know, we're growing and could use some space. And, hi, hon. Hey, I'm just finishing up a podcast here. And then I got to go on my call. Okay, sorry about that. So we were thinking it'd be nice to have a little more space to spread out. And, this isn't a purchase or anything. It's a rental, so we'll have some time to, you know, try the suburban thing and see how we like it and reevaluate again in a few months. All right, I think I'm going to cut it off there. I've actually got to go on a call in a few minutes. But I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and I'll be talking more about the move and the new job and all that good stuff. It's looking like, you know, depending on where and when I am, I might be able to do more than one of these a week, but I'll hopefully get at least one a week and hopefully more. So until then, it's Andrew Grummet signing off, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.